Welcome to the damage report, everybody. Brett's being ridiculous in the background. You can't hear it, but he is. It's a good thing we didn't accidentally have like a hot mic or anything. Anyway, today is the news. All of the news, the biggest news. I'm very excited to be here. That's Brett Ehrlich. How's it going?
I'm doing well. I received confirmation shortly before the show today that there will in fact be Game Busters tonight. Friday night at twitch.tv/TYT. Tune in at 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, as Jordan Yule will lead the crowd of weirdos playing Jackbox games. Finish off your week right by busting, because it makes you feel good.
Get in there so that you can play trivia against Jordan, and he'll just win by 1,000,000,000 points every single time. It'll be fun. Anyway, but no, that will be cool. Everyone should definitely do that. By the way, we're not going to spoil it. But was that a character that you were doing before the show? Is that a thing you're gonna do?
Oh, I don't know. I found an old laptop, as I mentioned sometimes on various other shows or whatever. But I found a sketch I wrote for his sketch writing class about the wedding of Prince Eric and Princess Ariel. And it's a toast given by a cousin who points out that she is in fact 16 years old.
Okay, so
and yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great you need to film this and put it on TikTok. Just do it.
Yeah. All right, John, we'll film it right now. Let me get full merman attire.
Do I have to be your manager? Oh. Anyway. Okay, with that said, we're gonna talk about things other than mermaids getting married. We're gonna be talking about the news. Did you know that there's news? Did you know that there's historic news? We'll be getting into it sooner or later. Obviously, I'm referring to Cracker Barrel going woke. Duh, what else would there be? But that'll be coming up later on in the aftermath. Oh, also, we'll be throwing away our garbage people of the week. I have a fun one, I think. I don't know who's Brett's is. I'm excited for the surprise. And along the way, if you enjoy what we're talking about, if you have any points to make or any gloating to do about any of these topics, you can send us comments, tweets, super chats, and all that, and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Brett, are you ready to start the show?
Whether I am or not, you've been more than fair.
Okay, and I will continue to be. Let's jump into this. A grand jury has apparently charged former President Donald Trump on 7 different counts related to his handling of government documents, specifically that he continued to handle them way after he was supposed to have given them back, after he was asked nicely to give them back, after he was asked somewhat forcefully to give them back, and even after the door to Mar-a-Lago was kicked down and they came for those documents, he still apparently was doing everything he could to retain control of them. And that might be a bad thing for him. This is a guy, of course, Donald Trump, who has been able to evade culpability for just tons of alleged crimes over the years outside of civil lawsuits. He hasn't spent a day in jail and might still not, but the charges are pretty significant. Now, all of this is still technically kind of not super confirmed in every aspect, but it won't be long before we know a lot more, because he is expected to surrender on Tuesday at 3 p.m. So regrettably, right after our show is done on Tuesday, he will be surrendering. At that point, he will probably be arraigned in a similar fashion as he was in New York not that many weeks ago over the hush money payments and the, you know, the covering that up. We at that point will know more about the charges. He will probably be released, although not necessarily at that point. So we have a lot more information about the charges, as well as the potential jail terms for them. We have some new revelations about that tape that apparently convinced the DOJ that this was go time. But before we get into all of that, what do you think?
The news of this will change everyone's mind in America about Trump. Done. That's what happens when new developments happen in cases, in news. All of America is wildly open-minded. When they hear new information, they compare that to what they think they know. They interpolate it into their worldview and they come out with a new, more enlightened perspective on things that is different from how they went in. They do not hunker down into their respective camps. America's discourse level is heightened, and someone who I can thank for that is Donald Trump, who didn't ruin it completely in the first place at all.
Yeah, look, will it? Probably not, because of course the people, and we're gonna get to reactions later on. No one reacting to this. That's a grief. How could you do this to him? Nobody cares at all about what happened. Let's just be very clear about that. Because this is, like, Trump has been alleged to have done a lot of illegal stuff. Some of it more obvious than others. But I think we can all agree that this is the most explicit and obvious and undeniable of all of his crimes. He definitely did it. He knew that it was a crime. It is definitely a crime. He continued to do it after he was warned. No one can dispute all of that. The only thing opponents of what happened can do is say, usually with a little bit of cover, doesn't matter, we shouldn't do anything about it. If you do anything about the crimes that he definitely committed, that is worse than the crimes that he committed.
Yeah, that puts not only the Department of Justice in a weird place, it puts the concept of justice in a weird place in America. That's the problem, and that's what Trump's banking on. He's basically saying, okay, what you always ask yourself when you're playing any kind of strategic game, you're trying to put your opponent in a position where no matter what they do, they're screwed. And they're, no matter what they do, they're gonna do something that'll benefit you. And the approach in Trump, when Trump was discovered to have these documents, which I have full confidence he did not really understand was illegal or know he had, that's like my guess. When he was in that position, he was in a difficult one. He could have given them back, which could be seen as weak. And his default position, that is essentially the move that got him here, is never to back down, never to apologize, never to surrender. So he just kind of acted Trumpily for a while and got the Department of Justice in a position that they haven't had to get in with anyone about whom it's been revealed that they have these documents that are classified. Everybody else is like, oh, sorry, here. But Trump kept saying no and kept saying no. And in the meantime, Trump seemed strong and the Department of Justice seemed weak. And if that kept up, the Department of Justice, and I said justice as a concept, would have been in a position to say, I guess I have to abandon hope that we can enforce this very clear-cut law. That's a weak position. And so now they've gotten to the point where they submit the charges and they're not huge, they sound big, they sound scary. They don't stop him from running for or being president. And that's where they're at right now.
They might. Well, the charges won't. Some of the consequences could. So bearing in mind, by the way, if it wasn't clear, these are federal charges. He's already facing state charges in New York. He might soon be facing more charges in Georgia. Why don't we move to that now? Donald Trump is apparently facing 7 different counts, a variety of different charges with a variety of different consequences and a variety of different levels of how difficult it'll be to prove them. But we want you to be prepared for what's gonna be happening starting next week, and which, by the way, might take a couple of years to finalize, and there are consequences of that which we'll discuss. So here are the charges: unauthorized retention of national security documents. Basically, you're not allowed to retain national security documents without authorization and to fail to deliver them to a government official entitled to take custody of them. That is a crime. Each such charged document would be a separate offense. So it's possible that prosecutors have brought as many as 5 counts of this offense by citing 5 different records. A conviction would be theoretically subject to 10 years in prison for each count. Basically, here, what they seem to be focusing on, obviously, he had way more documents than just these, but they're not generally focusing most of these charges on the fact that he had classified documents. They're using the Espionage Act, which, as we covered earlier this week, doesn't care about the classification level of the documents. It's about whether they are of concern to national security. And they appear to be identifying perhaps 5 different documents that specifically fit under that. There are way more classified documents than that, but not necessarily more classified documents that are clearly of concern to national security. And so theoretically, he could be faced up to 50 years for that. I'm gonna run through a few more and then we'll talk. There's conspiracy charges. So obviously, it's a crime to agree with another person to break a law. The penalty can be up to 5 years. We do not know exactly who that is going to be, although Trump did bleat earlier today that Walt Nauta is also being indicted. So we could assume that that's the person he's alleged to have conspired with, but we don't actually know that at this point. There's also obstruction. It's a crime to conceal records, to obstruct an official effort. The penalty is up to 20 years per offense. I just wanted to point that out both so that you know that and so that Robert Mueller knows that, because he apparently forgot about that for a couple of years. You can't actually obstruct these sorts of investigations. And then you have false statements, 5 years per offense, mishandling official documents. That can result in 3 years per offense, as well as in a ban on holding federal office. Although there's questions as to whether that would hold up in court if it were to actually be attempt to be enforced. And then contempt of court as well. They're basically saying that the grand jury subpoena that he received in 2022, that he only partially complied with and then ignored the rest of it, could result in him being found guilty of contempt of court. So there's a lot there. It looks like overall, Brett, they have decided that they're not going to engage with a lot of the stuff about classification levels. They're not gonna try to get into a big back and forth about whether he could psychically declassify things or whatever. Instead, they're just gonna focus on the things that are easier to prove that still in theory come with long potential stays in prison.
Right, and when I said earlier that this is, you know, satirically stated by stating the opposite of my position, I said that essentially this isn't gonna affect anyone's perception of Donald Trump, but it will do something very important. And I think that's part of why it's happening. A, the Department of Justice is like, he is guilty of these things. I'm not gonna not prosecute him. But the one thing, I forgot it. I'm sorry, I forgot, John. I forgot what my point was, like a total idiot.
How has it changed people's perception?
Oh, yeah, sorry, cut this part out. But okay, so the one thing it will do is remind normies that Trump is just too much to deal with. It'll remind them that, like, yes, Trump is always getting prosecuted for these things because any reasonable person understands, and if they can communicate it clearly that this is key, that Trump just doesn't care about the rule of law. And whether I understand as a normal person taking my kids to school what the law is that he broke, we just know that every time this guy's in the spotlight, he does stuff. It's not that people are unfair to him. He just does stuff that's generally crappy and annoying. And he should be held responsible for it, because I'm held responsible for stuff like that if I were to break the types of laws that he is. If the court comes to me and says, can I have this evidence? I have to give it. Appear and comply with a subpoena. I have to comply with that subpoena, period. Yeah.
100%. You would have to, we would have to. All we're asking for is for wealthy, powerful people to also have to comply with that. I'll also point out, by the way, in terms of these charges, I hadn't seen this before. If we could bring up this little chart, you're gonna see the percentage of respondents who say that the charges against Trump are serious or are disqualifying. And a lot of that is irrelevant. But 40% of Republicans agree with both of those statements. That's not nearly high enough. Way lower than independents or Democrats, but still, some Republicans do consider this to be serious. Isn't that fascinating? Now that said, let's start moving into things that are both concerning but also kind of fun. We now know a lot more about that tape that was alleged to have existed just a week or two ago, wherein back in the middle of 2022, after Trump was no longer president, he was taped talking about and potentially showing a classified document that has to do with apparently plans to invade Iran. Super, super serious stuff, and also really bad for Donald Trump, because it was clear in what was alleged to have been contained in that tape that he knew that the document was still classified, that he could not declassify things at that point, that he had missed his opportunity to declassify it, and that he was super excited to be showing it off to people. Well, now we know more about what happened, and I wanted to screenshot, like I took from this tweet the screenshot of an article about this, because it's just so amazing. You have to see it in its raw form. So he says at one point, all sorts of stuff, pages long. Look, wait a minute, let's see here. I just found, isn't that amazing? This totally wins my case, you know, except it is like highly confidential, secret. This is secret information. Look, look at this. Someone said if this was like in a script for a Mel Brooks movie, he would have revised it because it's too over the top. That was him holding invasion plans to invade Iran and saying, this is like the most confidential. Hey, look at this. Look at how amazing and confidential this is. And that is ridiculous. He goes on to say, secret. This is secret information. Look at this. This was done by the military and given to me. As president, I could have declassified, but now I can't. These are all on the transcript. It's like he's trying to do their job for them, Brett.
He's just so dumb.
He's the dumbest. And
that's it. It's like the weird gaslighting of the nation that's being done by the entirety of Fox News is to get you to look at stuff like this and try to convince you that he's not just the worst, that this guy shouldn't run his family business, which he's bankrupted multiple times, let alone the nation. And like the only way these people who are so anti-government, the only way for the government to stay run as a functioning entity is to take a larger role than they otherwise would had there been an actual strong executive to tell them what to do. They like T cells in the body, these things that have that frequently they're horrible. And I agree that there's many parts of the government that suck a ton, but even the horrible ones are just like, I have to be more powerful than I otherwise would be by keeping the president away from this stuff. Not because I'm ashamed of what he'll do with the how he'll take advantage and enact these invasions or anything like that, but just because he's irresponsible with the basicest of information.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, look, and it's a reminder. I don't know what all five of those documents that we believe might be involved in the charges. I don't even know if the one in the tape is one of the five, if there are five, but this is getting to seriousness. It is possible that he could have stolen some classified documents and it would technically be against the law, but there wouldn't be much of a reason for regular people to care. That's possible. I know that I'm supposed to have Trump derangement syndrome, but I could totally buy that. But some of this seems dangerous. And by the way, I don't believe what I consider to be the most far out version of this. I don't, without evidence, believe that he's selling the documents or whatever. I believe he just really wanted to have them and he thought, screw the government. I don't care if it's illegal, I wanna have them. But this is really important stuff. I would assume that in invasion plans, some pretty critical information about our military would be contained there. And I don't think you should be waving that around to people who just paid like the membership fee to Mar-a-Lago. So anyway, that's part of the evidence that we will hopefully learn more about once the actual trial starts. But that said, we've been talking about Trump. It is only fair for us to give him an opportunity to respond to these historic allegations. Here's a little bit of a video that he put up on Truth Social.
Our country is going to hell, and they come after Donald Trump.
Yes, they do. Donald Trump put up that video in reaction to the indictments coming out up. And I don't think that they had planned much for it, despite the fact that we knew that charges might be coming for some time. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One, they put him directly below, I think, the sun. I think like the sun was a foot above his head, because that's not a good look for a guy with hair like that. Also because it's like a 4-minute video and you might be wondering, why did you only put up like 7 seconds of it? Because none of the rest of it was remotely interesting. None of it really had anything to do with the charges whatsoever. It was boring, just boilerplate Trump stuff. And then the final reason that I don't think they planned for it was pointed out by Keith Olbermann on Twitter. Take a look at this screen grab. If you're gonna have him stand in front of a painting, don't have the guy being accused of crime stand in front of the old timey gentleman who is twirling his mustache. That seems like a weird choice. But anyway, he did bleat more that I think might be relevant. But first, what do you think about this? He's the first ever former president to be charged with crimes, and his first official communication is just buffoonish, Brett.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time last night trying to figure out what that painting was, either by like, you know, opening and like taking screenshots to reverse image search about. That was one thing I did. Then I used Photoshop AI to try to fill in the blanks, getting rid of him.
I knew you were going to do that, by the way.
And I couldn't. It looked like this was the rest of the photo. I Googled like Chester A. Arthur and like William Howard Taft, because that's kind of vaguely who it looks like, twirling their mustache. Also, it looks like the guy's making that like white power finger wiggle thing, but they just love, you know, that like hand gesture, whatever stupidity. But it's just cartoonish, and it's so boring at this point. It's mind numbing and it's boring. It's like the later seasons of Heroes. It's just junk. It's just shark jumping nonsense where they realize they set the tone that it needs to get exponentially more ridiculous over time. And at this point, we're approaching the limit of infinity where I just can no longer notice the difference between today and tomorrow, because it's just the same amount of incredibly infinitely dumb.
In terms of dumbness, yes. I do think that weeks like this are important because investigations of Trump, new details about the investigations, those sorts of things can start to blend together over time because there have been so many. But him actually being indicted, and again, we're not quite to Tuesday, those things stand out. We're probably only gonna have 4 to 6 of those in our life, so we should appreciate each one when it comes. This is only the second. But anyway, as I said, Donald Trump, once he had gotten out from under the heat lamp, I think that he was standing under, he did have some things to say in his defense, and he was able to collect himself and resume some gravitas by bleeding in all caps, "I am an innocent man. The Biden administration is totally corrupt. This is election interference and a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time. Make America great again." Okay, he can claim that he's innocent. There is a presumption of innocence still, I guess, after all this time and all these allegations, I guess he can do that. In terms of it being Biden, we're going to talk more later on. That's really the big narrative here, is this is just Biden doing this. But I will remind you, it's a grand jury that apparently approved these indictments. He's going to have a trial. He will have to convince them, or I would say the opposition will have to convince them that he committed these crimes. It's not like Biden can just like twirl his mustache and then like Trump goes off to Siberia. So again, I don't know how it will likely be a successful strategy in terms of getting many right wingers to continue to ignore how serious this is. But beyond that, I don't particularly care. Once he gets into more specifics about why you shouldn't care and why Biden arguably has done worse things, it gets, once again, I apologize, Brett, but to very dumb territory. When he says the corrupt Biden administration has informed my attorneys that I have been indicted seemingly over the boxes hoax. Nobody calls that except him. Even though Joe Biden has 1,850 boxes at the University of Delaware, more boxes in Chinatown, more at the University of Pennsylvania, and documents strewn all over his garbage floor where he parks his Corvette, and which is secured by only a garage door that is paper thin and open much of the time. I get that he wants to add details to his BS made up story to make it sound more authentic. But how the hell would he know any of that stuff? How does he know how thick the garage door is? That it's open? Is he sitting across the street from Biden's house? And 1,850 boxes, Brett, that is just the most absurd random number that he made up.
I think he searched like boxes rebellion and he just came up with like 18. I don't know. happened. So anyways, yeah, it's I love that image, John, of Trump on a stakeout with a tub of melted ice cream and a soup ladle, just being like, he's coming. Oh, here comes the garage door. It's opening. It's I have literally open. Nothing else to do with my time. I feel like the other detail that's my favorite is the Corvette part. Because for people, I'm not sure about Trump, but for the thoroughly rich, telling, you know, bringing up that someone drives a Corvette is your way of calling someone tacky. Yeah. But to most of America, when you hear that a dude drives a Corvette, you're like, awesome, that's boss, bro.
Yeah, Trump would have no interest in a Corvette or really any type of like sports car or anything like that, because he's never gonna drive. Like, he's that level of like disconnected, been wealthy for 50 years that has he driven a car in the last like 3 years? Like, honestly, I don't even know. It's such a weird thing to attack.
Ever. And by the way, he's a New York trust fund baby. He's never driven a car in his life.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll say what I've always said. I know that they consider this to be like a devastating counterpoint. Like, Biden might have done it too. Now, no, there's no evidence that Biden has done many of these things that Trump is being alleged to have done. But if he did, then there should be charges against him too. I don't know why that's considered so devastating. Like, you're gonna scare us into submission. Well, yeah, I do want my elites to be able to get away with crime, so I guess yours can too. No. Send both of them to jail.
Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, thanks for reminding me that I'm for the rule of law and you are not.
100%. Okay, with that said, I think we need to get into some of the ways that the media is trying to control this narrative, and we're gonna do that, but we're gonna take a break first. So send us your comments. It's a historic day. We'll read some of them. We'll be back in a bit.
President Trump is 76 years old. If the Department of Justice gets his way, he will die in federal prison.
I'm not predicting that. Mark Levin is predicting that. Trump is kind of old. I don't know. It wouldn't take a lot of these charges to potentially put him there for the rest of his life. But this is a lot, obviously, for many on the right to deal with these new charges. You had Mark Levin right there. By the way, that was the beginning of a 7-minute rant where he called it, "This is an insurrection. This is an insurrection." Okay, well, look, he's having a tough time. He's not the only one. Stephen Miller said, "This is a sad day for me personally."
Yeah, that guy has any emotions.
Serious, like he has emotions, like he has actual affection for Donald Trump. It doesn't just see him as a means to an end.
And like he can go out in the daylight. No, the ancient curse he's under prevents that action.
100%. Yes, the curled monkey's paw that occupies the center of his chest won't allow it. Also, you know what's a sad day for you, maybe? That this guy who is supposed to be like the perfect avatar for your sort of xenophobic, hateful conservatism that can distract everyone with the nonsense while getting tax cuts done, can't just stop breaking the law. Stop totally needlessly breaking the law. And then when you're given outs, just don't give in. Just keep the documents. Just ensure that you're gonna be raided and face charges. This is all so needless from the point of view. Yeah, if I was a fan of Trump, I would consider that to be pretty sad that our guy can't just keep it together a little bit with the crimes. Anyway, others.
By the way, really quick. Mark Levin, someone took the video of Mark Levin and put milkshake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force over it, and it works perfectly.
Okay, I need you to send me that. I need to see that. Anyway, we have Ron DeSantis saying the weaponization of federal law enforcement represents a mortal threat to a free society. This is my favorite thing about this. He's like, we have for years witnessed an uneven application of the law depending upon political affiliation. And as we know, he would never use the law to target people for their political affiliation. He says we need to excise political bias and weaponization of law enforcement. Yeah, I mean, maybe you should start in Florida. That'd be a great place.
Was almost my garbage person for that. Sorry, this is the last I'll interrupt, and then I'll have it. He was almost my garbage person for that exact reason. It's like you're arresting teachers for teaching people. Don't talk to me about weaponizing your fascist militia.
100%, and he would have earned it for that. Grant Stinchfield says this only makes us stronger. There's a lot of that going around where they're like trying to claim that this is like the most awesome thing. Okay. Maybe it is, but I want to focus on the claims against Biden. Many right wingers are saying that the only reason that Donald Trump is facing these indictments isn't because he definitely broke the law. He definitely did it. It's because they're trying to stop him from being president. So here's Josh Hawley making that point.
Here's what I will say. If the president in power can just jail his political opponents, which is what Joe Biden is trying to do tonight, we don't have a republic anymore. We don't have the rule of law. We don't have the Constitution. Our Constitution is built on the basic rule of law and due process, and nobody should be in doubt of what's happening tonight. Joe Biden and his cronies are trying to take out their chief political opponent.
Okay, there's a few issues with that. I could rebut them, but I think Ted Lieu actually did a pretty good job in a tweet saying presidents don't jail or indict anyone, grand juries indict. Again, the fact that Biden has been hands off on this, that even Merrick Garland hasn't gotten involved, that they put a special counsel there, none of this has had any effect. All of these things that they've done that are supposed to reassure people that to whatever extent it can be assured, this is not a political thing, they're actually going based on law, it hasn't mattered. It is, after all, not the jailing of Trump. It's an indictment. There's still going to be a jury. None of that matters whatsoever to him. The assertion is always going to be that it's Biden. You'll notice, by the way, Hawley did not go into why all of the things we have in the transcript of the Trump tape are perfectly cool, or why he held on to all of these documents after the subpoena. They're not actually arguing on the substance of why he hasn't broken the law. They're simply saying, I don't care what the details are. If you're trying to charge him right now, it is inherently political.
Listen, Josh Hawley has made some pretty compelling arguments about the idea that he is the ultimate man. And to the extent that I actually have in my Amazon shopping cart a copy of his book, Manhood. But I'm gonna delete it because Josh Hawley, who told me he's a man's man, went and cried to mommy Laura Ingraham that they'll be unfair to his president. Why don't you sack up? Why don't you have faith that a jury will do justice instead of crying to the refs on national television that it's hard to be the former president of the United States? These guys, like, they're the weirdos. Can we all agree on that? They're such weirdos. This guy's saying there should be due process following the due process justice system. That's what happened. They asked the grand jury, do you think there's a potential for there to be a crime here? The grand jury said yes. They then took that guidance that is the fundamental underpinning of when we press charges at any time, and then they proceeded with that. And now we're gonna have a trial where they prosecute if it even gets to that. Mm-hmm. If it even gets to that. This is the rule of law. You guys just go on TV and say what's happening isn't happening.
Yeah, 100%. Again, like they're just trying to make it about Biden the whole time again. And like the idea obviously is, it doesn't matter if he broke the law, he's the former president, he gets to get away with it. But they clearly don't believe that because they definitely think that they should be able to get Biden on some sort of crime. And best of luck to them. If you have proof of this stuff, then let's see it. Joe Biden's not my grandpa. Like, I don't care. If he ends up in jail because he broke the law, I am not going to lose a second of sleep. But you have to actually do it. And they think they potentially have an avenue. So we're gonna turn to Marjorie Greene, who's gonna combine a couple of the different defense mechanisms that we've seen across these different pundits and politicians. Take a look at this.
So the reporting would be then, if this were true, that the Burisma scheme is confirmed, then Trump is indicted. I'm sure it's just a coincidence. This all just happened, sheer coincidence.
Well, I have to tell you, Laura, I feel like we're winning, and we won some today when everyone feels like we're losing, especially with this indictment of President Trump and this document hoax.
Okay, so yes, it's just a coincidence that they put the charges out today because we have this thing about Burisma that we can't say anything specific about. We're just gonna vaguely say that it proves that Biden is corrupt. By the way, on that convenience thing that the charges happen to come out today, we were told earlier this week that the charges might come out today. The Burisma scheme being confirmed is just Republicans coming out today and saying that it's confirmed. it kind of seems like if it's a coincidence, you guys made it a coincidence. You decided to roll that stuff out today. Why did you rush to do that when you can't prove anything? And it doesn't even matter. If it wasn't Burisma, Brett, it'd be something else. She goes on to say like, oh, it's happening during an election. Martha McCollum saying the same thing. Why are they doing this now during an election? Do you guys remember that he rushed his announcement so that this would be during an election? It's never gonna be the right time. So let's not play that game.
The election's not for a year and a half.
Year and a half, yeah.
That's when it happened. No one, and the only people running in this election are people in the primary. And here's the thing, you guys are just salivating to have DeSantis instead of Trump. That's all. You're just salivating to have DeSantis instead of Trump. So they're just playing their own strategy wrong. It's really stupid, I think. That Marjorie Taylor Greene is the chief dum-dum. And to say that she's winning, that they're winning when they are literally like being indicted, that's not a win. That's you just looking at the scoreboard and saying you won, yeah. Which seems to be their move because they did that. They did that. And that inspired the January 6th insurrection. They still say they won an election that the same court system says they lost. And that everybody, even on their own side, says they lost. It's just they're declaring victory, which is something that's a very Trump move because rather than use facts to prove stuff, he's just saying things and hoping folks will believe that it's true. And then also, none of this is confirmed. As the person who is in charge of giving like journalism trainings to people at this company, if it's confirmed, you don't have to put the word allegedly in your lower third. And if talking about convenience makes any sense, the convenience aspect at the bottom of them saying Biden and not saying which Biden was allegedly paid $5 million by Burisma, or it says Joe Biden. But yeah, so the allegedly part, you don't have to put that in your lower third if it is actually confirmed.
Yeah, which it hasn't been. But Marge does want to reassure you that there's something here. And she went to great efforts to make that happen. Listen to this.
The FBI is stonewalling us and they would only let us see it in a skiff. Well, what I did after reading the document is I made notes when I walked out and I went to the table and I wrote down everything that I had just read. So that I could come out and tell the American people what I read.
I don't understand why the idea that if you can't take the actual document, you're going to write it down so you don't forget it, to her is presented as if she's the first person that has ever done that. So what I did was I made another version of it from memory afterward. Like, yeah, you took notes, okay? Which by the way, might seem like, well, yeah, it's just sort of a routine thing, but it's also theoretically a problematic thing for her because a skiff is used for highly sensitive information. And in most cases, members of Congress are not allowed to repeat information they see inside the facility. They don't just mean that you can't take the document, you can't repeat the information. Even if you went out and wrote down all the things, she was holding up a piece of paper. If the information was on that paper, she's possibly committing a crime.
And also in the impeachment inquiry, those guys said that contemporaneous notes are BS and they shouldn't be believed anymore.
That's true. That's true. And by the way, I just want to briefly reiterate the point that I made last week. Now that we're talking about Marjorie Greene. So they would have you believe that all of this is a fake to take out Trump. To protect Biden. Donald Trump even tweeted out Matt Gaetz saying, imagine being naive enough to believe that the Biden bribe evidence and Trump indictment happening the same day was a coincidence. I don't think it was a coincidence. I think you guys rushed to pretend that there was something here so that it would seem suspicious. But I will say what I've said again. These are the people that believe that basically every mass shooting that has ever happened has been a false flag. That our government is run by lizard clone robots and they will stop at nothing to stop Trump. Then why are they going through all of this classified document stuff? If they're willing to massacre Americans, why is Trump alive? Why? And if they will stop at nothing to stop him, then why have they stopped? Why didn't they cross that line to just taking him out then at that point?
Right. And if Trump is the number one guy and anyone who challenges him is a member of the deep state, how is Ron DeSantis not the deep state?
Bit of surprising SCOTUS news earlier this week. They struck down a Republican drawn map for congressional districts in Alabama that they say violates the Voting Rights Act. And considering the makeup of the Supreme Court, how conservative it's become, particularly on issues of voting, this was truly a surprise. But it was a 5-4 vote. You had two of the conservatives joining the three liberals. That's John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh. So now the map is going to have to be redrawn. In terms of the actual distribution of seats, I don't know how much of a difference this is going to make. I think it might have ended up being like 6-1 or 7-1 or something like that. But it might end up swaying, you know, one seat to the Democrats. But more importantly, rather than just the partisan result of it, the allegation was that this map was drawn to try to intentionally dilute the voting power of black voters in Alabama. And regardless of whatever the partisan outcome of this is, you cannot do that. That's what the Voting Rights Act is supposed to stop. And so it is good to see that there are still some in the Supreme Court that care about that, although, as we will cover, not everybody does. And so Roberts wrote for the majority in this, said that a lower court had correctly concluded that the map violated the voting rights law. He wrote that there are genuine fears that the Voting Rights Act may impermissibly elevate race and the allocation of political power, so don't get too cozy with him going forward. And that the Alabama ruling does not diminish or disregard those concerns. Instead, it simply holds that a faithful application of our precedents and a fair reading of the record before us do not bear them out. So he's a little bit hesitant, but votes the right way. That's the majority opinion. Clarence Thomas writes a dissent. It's 48 pages long, and it is fairly clear that if it were up to him, Voting Rights Act wouldn't exist, or at the very least, it would have no ability whatsoever to stop some of the most racist politicians in America from explicitly drawing congressional maps intended to minimize the voting power of minorities. Brett, what do you think?
So when the founders of this nation wrote the rules of this nation, the one thing you can undeniably conclude by reading the result of a revolution against a tyrannical dictator and a ton of corruption, is they were like, we have to write rules that make it very difficult to cheat. Now, they did have a lot of blind spots. They like owned slaves and stuff, but they were like, you know, even then they were like, we should make it really difficult to cheat. And cheating, like a bacteria, eats away at things like institutions over time. And they don't just show up and say like, I'm breaking this rule right now. There's a lot of rules that keep people from cheating and stealing elections. But over time, what the right wing has done in this country is invest a lot of money to try to find sophisticated ways to win, even though we all know that like this rich, horrible group of people will say explicitly when you ask them behind the scenes, should everyone get a vote? They say no. If we gave everyone a vote, then they would take all my money and there wouldn't be any opportunity for me. I'm very disenfranchised as a bajillionaire. And so I understand their instincts to kind of protect their interests. But even the Supreme Court, which is stacked so hard against this and is the result of the exact bacterial process that I referenced earlier to cheat at the system, even these guys are like, what Alabama did was so counter to even what the slave holding founders of this country put on paper, that it created a framework where we could have a Voting Rights Act that would ban this kind of thing from happening. And they acted. And rather than go and tilt your swords at the conservative justices who betrayed you if you're on the right wing, what you should do is look at yourself and say, oh my God, we are big old stinky cheaters.
That's definitely one way to put it, yeah. By the way, like looking forward, not that it'll matter, like if a certain sort of conservative justice is able to dominate the court and have their way, like Clarence Thomas. Like he says that he's long been convinced that the Voting Rights Act only regulates voters' ability to actually get to the ballot or cast it, meaning that you cannot literally have a line of white people lock arms and stop you from getting to the polling place. But once you get there, your vote can have been intentionally structured so that it will be irrelevant. That's fine. That is his idea. if they were to take, so they're worried that someday, obviously there's all this like white fear or whatever, that someday white people will be the minority in America. If and when that comes, if the new black-brown alliance that forms the majority decides that they're going to gerrymander every part of the country, so the white people can technically get to the ballot, but it won't matter when they vote, there will have been decades of Republican precedent for that being cool. That's perfectly fine. It just comes down to, do you have the majority? If there's enough of your race that gets to enforce their will in the others, then it's all legal, it's all cool, no problems with the Constitution. And super fast, final point goes to you.
Right, my point is that like in Alabama in the 2020 election, it was 1/3 Democrat and 2/3 Republican. So you think that the way that the legislature in that state, or the, you know, the representatives they elect to DC, it would be somewhat close to that, but it's actually half of that. It's 1-7 or 1-6. And that's crazy. And yeah, and they're just like fundamentally. And so that's the thing that's horrible. That is the big, like, this is what's wrong moment. And then you look at how the black population is distributed across the state. They call it the Black Belt in Alabama. It's right across the middle, is where most of the black population lives. And then you look at how the districts are drawn. It just utterly divides them up and siphons them off into other groups.
Yeah, purposely. Yeah, 100%. So that's fun. But thankfully, at least in this case, the Supreme Court did the right thing. Now, that said, we're going to close out the hour with one more story. The indictment has been unsealed. I've been able to see a little bit of it. There is some interesting stuff there. Maybe we'll briefly talk about it after the end of the hour. So definitely go to the YouTube page to watch that clip if you're listening live on the podcast. But for now, let's move to this. An Indiana police officer decided to go challenge mode and speed run getting fired for racism. This is former officer, now former officer, Chaz Foy, that you can see right there. And he had a busy week. So on Monday, he was sworn in as a new police officer. Obviously a big day for any police officer. You can see the swearing in ceremony there. That was Monday. Tuesday was pretty normal, not much happened, probably orientation, meeting people, you know, figuring out where the parking, where the coffee is. And then came Wednesday. Well, he was fired on Wednesday. So it took about 48 hours for a pair of racist Facebook posts. Now, I just declare that they're racist. That's unfair of me. Everyone's gonna need to decide for themselves if the Facebook posts are racist. So let's put them up. So on June 1st, 2022, he put up a post saying, with gas hitting 489 and climbing, let's all take a moment to appreciate better times. The image beneath the text showed former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin kneeling on the neck of George Floyd. So he was literally like thinking of the good old days when a man was murdered by the cops. That's fun. Then there's this other post from April 2021. In which he has like a cartoon depiction of a black man with Martin Luther King on it. That's not great. It's not great. One of those posted just last year. We had been through a couple of years of national conversation about racism in law enforcement, what needs to be done, how we can do reforms. And up until last year, he still thinks, no, it's awesome. Like I love those good old days when black men had the life choked out of them by white cops. Anyway, they did the right thing. He was fired fairly instantaneously. This is a pretty standout case. What do you think, Brett?
Yeah, I feel like that guy shouldn't be a police officer. There's, you know, there's tons of things he can do, I'm sure. You know, run a Trump fan site, maybe sell merch at a Trump rally. But I don't think that guy should be a
Trump. To be fair,
I didn't say that he likes Trump. I'm saying that he could find a business, you know, a lot of business. There's people who don't like Trump who say they love Trump on TV.
That's true.
You know, for a living. So I think that that's it. So, and I just like, just guys, when folks say that there are injustices perpetrated by the police system against members of society, we're talking about this. This is it. Don't put words in anyone's mouth. Those words are on this guy's Facebook page and they say Martin Luther King.
Yep. And by the way, there might be some, probably conservatives maybe, that say like, hey, you shouldn't fire a guy for this. It doesn't matter that he posted these. That's not racist. Or if it's racist, who cares? Yeah, but you don't really believe that, not as a general principle. If it was a black cop and he had had a ton of racist posts attacking white people, you know that you would want him off the force. Let's be clear. Although again, it might just be that it's not that you think there should be a general principle that saves people's jobs. It's just that in some cases it's not a problem and in others it is. Anyway, with that said, I don't know how much time we have. I can't actually see it, but we're over. Okay.
I landed the plane right at Martin Luther King. You were the one who was like,
I can't see the uptake.
It's my show. I thought about doing this.
That would have been helpful. Anyway, so we're over. Thank you for joining us for this historic day. More news to come in the aftermath. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.